Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, good morning. Our number one. I can't believe we went a whole hour.
One down, three to go.
It feels like we started 5 minutes ago. Anyway, all the lines are full right now. I will let you know when we have an open line, but we've got lots of callers, everything about knee pain, immunity to the COVID-19, prostate questions, probiotics. It's kind of nice. This is a nice balance now between virus issues and all of the various general health issues. I kind of like this. Anything goes when you call the show. So that's okay. Now,
anything connected to medicine.
Well, sorry.
I'm not going to be able to help you much with auto mechanics sort of stuff.
That's true. And you don't want to call the show on that. That is for sure. All right. With that in mind, you sort of feel like it could be within a week or so or couple, 3 weeks, and we will have the senescent cell therapy. And
yeah, I mean, technically we can do it now. It's just that right now we have to buy the stuff through the pharmaceutical companies.
At $2,500
for 9 days worth of therapy, which is outrageous.
Yeah.
So
why would there be such a discrepancy?
Because the drug is originally approved and sold for cancer.
Yeah.
And they can get anything they want for cancer. If you got cancer, you're desperate. You'll pay anything they want you to pay. Mm. But Paramount can get the same drug in as a powder, compound it at the same doses, and make a profit on it at $250 instead of $2,500.
Man, I'm glad we've been announcing for a couple of months that we're working. Now we've got sort of a management. How do you describe our relationship with Paramount now? Longevity Development.
Yeah, Longevity Development has a management contract with them. Right. Longevity Medical Clinics does not.
Right.
But what happens is I've become, friends with Mr. Lee, the pharmacist there, and Brandon really wants to help our patients out. He wants our business.
He is so customer service oriented. Isn't he a great guy?
Listen, he wants our business. And so I've told him, you want my patient's business. You have to give them super duper prices and service.
Yeah.
I want lower cost on everything. That's why.
Yeah. So anyway, Paramount Pharmacy, you can do, by the way, you might call it a price check or what have you, but if you're getting compounded prescriptions right now, you don't have to be just a patient at Longevity to use Paramount. You could be seeing whomever, and you're getting compounded prescriptions. You really, really should give Paramount a try.
Yeah. They serve every doctor in the state
who
writes the prescriptions. But like I said, I just have made it clear that if he wants our people's and he wants my endorsement, he's going to give our people super duper low prices.
Or else
anyway, he doesn't get my endorsements and recommendations.
So here's the deal.
It's blackmail, but it's a legal blackmail.
It's honorable. It's
honorable and legal blackmail.
That's right. Give Paramount a call. 855-301-7677. 855-301-7677. Give them a try. I'll bet you'll save some money, and believe me, you'll get wonderful service and wonderful quality, which is key There's a big difference in compounded prescriptions, which I don't think people understand, but that will be for another time. Again, call Paramount, 855-301-7677. I might say you've often been tempted. Ideally, I think you'd like to own a pharmacy.
I would.
But
if I own it, and there are no legal constraints on my owning the pharmacy, but if I own it and my doctors write any prescriptions to it, then it becomes a crime.
Yeah, okay.
So
you do not own Paramount.
So I do not own any shares of Paramount. I get no shares of their profits. But my patients get special treatment.
So there you go. That's why we did it. 855-301-7677. Let's go to Port Orchard. Talk to Glenn. Hello, Glenn. Welcome.
Hello, Glenn.
Glenn, you're listening to the radio. You need to turn off the radio and listen to us on the phone.
Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Hello?
You're on the air. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm at 73 and 5/12 years old, and I've got some really bad knees, both of them, and trouble walking up and down stairs, and sometimes my meniscus gets loose on the toilet, and it takes me 5 minutes before I can get off with the pain. And my question is, I want to get into the clinic and have them do an analysis or whatever it takes to find out, well, does stem cell therapy work in all cases, or
no?
Would I be looking at knee replacement? Can you kind of help me out there?
Okay, yeah. The reason I said no so fast, you said all cases.
Yeah.
Nothing works in all cases, all right?
Okay.
Stem cell therapies, when it's done properly, and this, I generally use Dan Nelson just because I know Dan is a first-rate physician who works with a reputable group. He can take stem cells out of your bone marrow and inject the stem cells and platelet-rich plasma into the knee, and there is about a 70 to 80% significant response rate. So between 7 out of 10 or even 8 out of 10, depending on what condition your knees are really in, will get significant improvement. Okay? They don't take you back to being a teenager, but they can usually help grow new cartilage and so on, decrease the inflammation within the joint. So, but there's always that two or three people out of 10 that don't get a good response. And so, you know, we're back to Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. You know, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. But nothing always works. It's just,
Here's an interesting example. Just yesterday, I was on a phone call with a very close friend whose wife saw Dr. Nelson with both knees, a big problem. She was having to use a cane, couldn't go on walks and things like that. She was really in pain. Well, she did the stem cell therapy, and yesterday he was talking about that he and his wife had gone on a 3-mile hike twice. They've been doing it twice a day, and I said, really? So she's doing that, and she said, oh yeah, she's doing great. It's not 100% gone.
But it's better.
But now she can sleep through the night. Now she can go on walks. She's certainly not using a cane anymore. It wasn't 100% improvement, but it made all the difference in the world.
And that's what you're after is, you know, we live in the real world, and, you know, this is medicine, not magic. So we kind of have to, you know, Harry Potter's wand is only in the movies. So.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, no, I listen to your show religiously every weekend, and I do appreciate all the comedy mixed in with all the high-tech medical stuff.
Well, thank you. But you know what? I learned long ago that much of life can only be laughed at. You get choices. Yeah. You can laugh or you cry. I'd rather laugh.
Jerry, if you and I couldn't razz each other, you and I couldn't razz each other and have fun, I don't think you could pay me enough to do this job.
Well, I got to tell you, my mother died, you know, last Tuesday of last week. And in her final days, every time that she was lucid, she and I sat, and even as she was dying, we were laughing at human foibles. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that human beings are such flawed, strange creatures. We are all mixtures of, you know, good, bad, and indifferent. I'm convinced there are very few truly good or truly bad people in this world. Most of us are a mix. We've got character flaws that we consider bad. We've got virtues that are considered good. And that's just what makes us interesting human beings. And unfortunately, you know, that's true about all human endeavors, including medicine. You know, medicine is a weird combination between a priestly calling and a business. And if either one of those aspects get too heavy, the patient doesn't get the best service. You need both.
That's right. Yeah. Glenn, appreciate your call.
Well, one closing comment. I caught a deal. This old man was dying, and he was writing his memoirs. And if I had it to do over again, and his final comment, he said, I would eat more ice cream and fewer beans. So that means we should be lighthearted.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
I'm going to use that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks
a lot,
Glenn.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Hey, Jerry, I haven't told you about this, but about 10 minutes ago, I texted Dr. Gilbert, and I said, any chance you're available? Sometimes he's out walking or what have you. So I want to bring Gilbert on selfishly and to ask him a question about the shutdown and stuff. So are you there, Dr. Michael Gilbert?
I am. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning, sir.
Great, with the Northwest Vision Institute. First of all, let's get the politics out of the way. What's your situation for Northwest Vision Institute, according to our governor?
Well, along with you, physicians are essential businesses, probably the most important of them. Evergreen Hospital, others, and we have resumed wellness and preventative care exams. So I've seen patients this week, mostly, you know, the number one reason. People don't always know they're coming in for it, but the number one reason has been dry eyes. I'm seeing patients, but it's mostly looking for people who are having problems. We're open to patients who just are concerned about getting their eyes checked because it's been a long time. That's preventative care.
That's right. And I dare say I meant to call you this week. There's about three or four times late in the afternoon where I literally banged myself on the head and said, man, I should have called your office this week. I will be doing that Monday. You're getting calls, I understand, regarding blue blocking computer glasses. I'm now on my computer 8-9 hours a day, unlike in the past, and it's really affecting my eyes. Tell us about the blue blocking glasses. Are they necessary?
There have been some advertising saying it's necessary, that the blue light can do damage to the macula, the retina, can disrupt sleep cycles. Honestly, there's very little data that makes that recommended. So I would not make an effort toward blue blocking. But anyone over 50 will find that having computer glasses will, if you spend any significant time on the computer, will relax your eyes for that distance. Now, it turns out that's more for your neck than it is for your eyes. Because if you have a progressive lens or a bifocal, you can see it by tilting your neck up to get to the right angle. But after 50, the angle that you have to tilt your neck is likely uncomfortable after a long period of time. So you're going to end up being more comfortable and see the computer a little better with glasses that are dedicated to that distance.
So I want to talk about me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Me. By about 2 o'clock, because I usually get on around 6:30 and in the morning. And by about 2 o'clock, there are times when it literally is so fuzzy, I've got the progressives and I'm going up and up, you know, and I just have to walk away. It's just, so you say computer glasses. I need to get you to get me a set prescription just for when I'm on the computer then?
Easily done, Pete. And I think computer glasses, knowing how much time you spend on the computer and knowing you're very close to being over 50, I think it would be, that was partly humorous.
He's only 21 years away from it.
Approaching your 50s from one side or the other, it will be a comfort benefit for you, and knowing the number of hours you spend, to have glasses that are dedicated to that distance, so that you're not tilting your head all that those hours trying to get to the optimal point in any progressive lens that you have. Progressives will do it, but if you're going to be spending any time on the computer, better to have a dedicated pair. Coatings are not necessary.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Or no, I'm going to come up with a different solution for him.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yours is very, very good from an ophthalmologic standpoint. However, Pete, I'm going to recommend that you use my solution.
Okay.
In my office.
Yes.
There are a set of dumbbells. And every time I get eye strain and or brain fried, I stand up. I walk 5 feet to the side. I pick up my dumbbells and I do curls and overhead presses until my heart rate is up and I'm breathing fast. Then I put them down and go back to the computer. And you'll find that some exercise every hour or so will do a whole lot for your ability to concentrate. And then the next time it happens, instead of grabbing the dumbbells, you go over, you drop down in the military press position, and you knock out 30 or 40 push-ups.
You want me to do 30 or 40 all in a row or over a two-day period?
And, all right.
And Professor,
start with 10. Start with whatever you can do.
Okay.
But the fact is that the exercise and increasing your heart rate and your respiratory rate, so you're breathing deeply and you're away from the computer, even if it's only for 1 minute, makes an enormous difference. And if you'll do that,
I tell you why that works from an ophthalmic standpoint.
Certainly, please do so.
So what really is happening there, although I totally endorse your strategy, the real reason it's working for your eyes, your vision on the computer, when you're sitting on the computer, it completely alters your blink rate. Normal blink rate is 12 to 20 times a minute away from the computer. It goes down as low as 2 times a minute on the computer. So much of the blurring that you're getting during those extended periods is because your eye is drying out. When you step away and pump some iron, you are distracted from the computer. You revert to your normal blink rate, clear up that surface, and so you've renewed your eyes as well as refreshing your mind.
Yep.
All right.
And besides which, the exercise is good for him.
It is. Yes. So thank you, Michael.
And get you some computer glasses, and maybe for Christmas we'll send you some dumbbells to lift.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, who's sending those to me now?
I think he is.
Oh, okay.
I think he is. Santa Claus, yes.
Hey, Michael, thank you so much. And again, to our listeners, there's a reason we call on Dr. Michael Gilbert.
He knows what the hell he's talking about.
Well, I wouldn't have put it quite that way, but you're right. That's right. He knows what he's doing. Northwest Vision Institute there in Bellevue.
We have a few appointments even online available for you this week, so we could see you.
Okay. And by the way, you can make appointments online at nwvision.com. You can still do that online?
Yes, sir.
Okay, nwvision.com. Or call 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020. What a great idea. Thank you, Michael. And
great
with
program.
That said,
thank you for letting me join. Bye-bye.
You betcha. With
Take
that
care,
said,
sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it personally very, very much. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk to Don in Marysville. He wants to know if there's long-term immunity to the COVID-19. If he's got the antibodies, what have you, how long will that last? Then Joseph has a prostate question. Judy wants to know about probiotics. Are they something to consider? And we've got one line open, which means you can call with your question about anything you want, as long as it's about health. 800-465-8255. 800-800-8770. We do have a quick question. Somebody wants to know that no one is answering the phone, they say, at Longevity. They want one of the free health analysis appointments.
Leave a message.
Leave a message. And you, in the order that you call, you will be called right. Monday morning.
Via is at home with her husband and three children.
That's
right. She is not sitting here over the weekend.
That's right. So you can make your free health analysis appointment right now, literally this very moment, 24/7, middle of the night, whenever, by going on our website, lmclinic.com. And yes, you do get the two free masks, you get the $100 worth of supplements, and obviously the two free tests. But you do that on your own at lmclinic.com. Or call 866-86-YOUNG. And if you're doing that today, leave a message. And we'll get back to you so you can get your appointment as well. We'll be right back. All right, 23 minutes past the hour. Pete Talbot here. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and yes, I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio with me. He, by the way, if you're a new listener, Dr. Mixon is the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinics. Started the clinics back in 1998 when you were just...
A babe.
Just amazing. And we've been going strong, 21 years on the air. For almost 21 years now.
Yes.
You got on the air just
1999.
That's right, 99. So here we go. Let us go to Marysville and talk to Don. Hello, Don. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Don.
Oh, thank you. Do you hear me okay?
We hear you great.
Yep.
Okay, great. I've been hearing from various bureaucrats and others that that there's a question about whether there's we can acquire long-term immunity to the COVID virus, and unfortunately they don't explain what they mean by long-term. Nobody asks what short-term is, and and there's no context, and the reporters never ask any really good questions. So my question about this is, what are the facts of reality that make them doubt the whether we can get long-term immunity?
Okay. Several things. First of all, remember, reporters got their degree in journalism. They are not science. They were educated over on kiddie land, okay? So they wouldn't know science if it bit them.
Right.
But I don't use the term immunity in relationship to the COVID virus as yet. I use the term resistance. And I do that advisedly. Let me explain a bit. Whenever we get a foreign organism, viruses, bacteria that invade our bodies, we mount an immune response and we make antibodies to proteins usually on the surface of that invader. And that kind of primes our body so that if it's exposed to that protein again, it rapidly, very rapidly mounts an immune response. And the job of that is to destroy, to rip apart that invader. It doesn't disappear into the ether. It's actually ripped into fragments, into pieces. Okay. Now, the COVID virus is an RNA virus, and RNA viruses are a little different. Unlike everything else on this planet, which is a DNA structure, we are DNA creatures. They are RNA, and RNA organisms are not very stable. They mutate easily. They also die easily. They are destroyed easily. They're relatively fragile. That's why this virus is rapidly destroyed in sunlight, because it has no protection from the ultraviolet light, and ultraviolet light sterilizes this virus very quickly. We think that's probably why there are so few cases of this down near the equator. You know, you go down to Thailand and Malaysia and Singapore, very few cases. Singapore a few more than the others because everything in Singapore is air conditioned and everybody stays inside where they get infected more easily. But in the poor countries where people live outside, there's almost no COVID infection despite poverty and close social distancing. So this is a fragile virus in many respects. When people have looked at the folks that have recovered from the virus, we are finding that some of the people, even a month later, 2, 3, 4 weeks later, if you test them, you'll find genetic material from the virus still in their system. The question is that intact infectious virus, or is it destroyed protein genetic fragments of the virus that have been destroyed by the person's immune response, and they're still circulating? They may not be infectious anymore because they are not an intact virus, but they just haven't been cleared from the circulation yet. Okay. So we don't really know. There have been people that have been told they were cured and then came down with what appears to be a second bout of the virus 2 or 3 months later. And so then the question is, wow, how immune were these people? How resistant were they to the infection? And what we don't know is, did they actually clear all the virus from their system, or was there some virus still resident that simply became resurgent? Because we have now recognized that in tears, in the eye, we are finding occasionally viral particles that are still infective a month after the person purportedly recovered. So they cleared the virus from their bloodstream. It's no longer attacking their respiratory tree, but there was still a little bit of it sitting in those tear ducts. That's kind of, you know, scary. You've also then got to throw in the fact that everybody's immune response is different. Fat people, diabetics, old people have poor immune response. That's why they die from the virus. Young people with robust immune responses barely get sick at all. In fact, most of them don't even know they've been infected. Their body, most young, healthy people, the virus comes in, their immune system jumps on it, wipes it out so fast, they never even show any symptoms. They just go about their daily life. They got infected and never knew it. Okay. And so, but everybody's immune system is different. And some people make great immune systems and some people have poor immune systems. And that's why if you're a smoker, if you're sedentary, if you're overweight, if you're diabetic, you've impaired your immune system. All of those conditions keep you from doing a really good immune response. So what it comes down to is this. If you've been infected and you survived, which the vast majority of us will, the current death rate is about 0.2% of people infected, you will mount an immune response. How long that immune response lasts and how effective it is at destroying the virus is going to vary from individual to individual. We know that with influenza, the other very common aggressive RNA virus that is very similar in a lot of respects to the coronavirus, in influenza, your immunity only lasts 6 to 18 months on average, and then it fades. We don't yet know what the immune period will be for this virus because it's too new. We haven't been able to track people for a year or two or three. So ask me 2 years from now, I'll tell you what the immune response is. But right now, nobody knows. It's too new. We don't have the data.
Okay, so
there you,
great.
There you go.
Okay.
One more.
Thanks, Don.
One more.
Yeah, one more what?
Question. A few weeks ago, you were talking about longevity getting some antibody tests and offering them.
Yes. Yes.
What's the status on that?
Well, the status on that, and I've talked to the company three times this week. Roche has an approved antibody test that can be run on my laboratory's equipment. That's the good news. The cost of doing it for me is going to be about $1 a piece, so that's even better news. That means that I will, for my patients, I will simply throw it right into their standard panel that we do every 3 months. And so all of my patients are going to get the test right along with their other tests. When I test their hormones, their inflammatory markers, I'll also be checking their COVID status. And so, and there will be no extra charge for my patients. We are not offering it to the general public, simply because I don't have the staff to draw blood on 5 million people in Washington. You know? So, but for my patients, it'll be a freebie. Now, here's the problem. It has been approved. The company is furiously making these test kits for the machines. The downside, the government gets first dibs. So the federal and state governments get to buy up all they want. Once the government sources have been satisfied, then the company will let us have them. But the feds and the state get first dibs. And so I don't know how fast they'll buy up theirs, and I don't know when the supply will come to us. Sometime at the end of this month or early June is my guesstimate, but that's a guesstimate, and I could be wrong.
So there you go, Don. Great. Thanks for the call. That opens up a line. Call us. Take Don's place by calling 800-465-8770. When we come back, we've got a question about prostates. So that will be interesting, potentially, to half our audience.
50% of the population. Well, and anybody who likes a man with
that's
a prostate,
right.
too. Yeah,
that's right. So don't go far. We'll be back before you know it. And again, a reminder, you can make your free health analysis appointment. It includes the two free tests. It includes the free masks. It includes $100 of longevity supplements. And we're honoring this through May. Now, about 3 or 4 days ago, we only had 3 appointments in May, but we did some big-time maneuvering in all 3 of our clinics. There's now over 30 appointments available. They'll be gone soon, so go to lmclinic.com, and they are available right online at lmclinic.com. Easy to do. Minutes past the hour, and this portion of Leading Edge Medicine is, well, not officially. I'm just doing it because I'm a nice guy. I'm so impressed with Rajiv Nagayach and Aging Options that I want to talk to you just for like 15 seconds about the emergency legal kit. I've mentioned it before, the financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, will or a trust, whatever. All you need, the emergency legal kit. If you've procrastinated with your estate planning, hey, you can do it over the phone, online. And if you want more information, you can call Rajiv Nagayach at Agent Options, 877-ELDER-47, 877-ELDER-47, or you can obviously go online at agingoptions.com. Let's go to Renton and talk with Joseph.
And that was a 45-second, 15-second ad.
Okay, well, about 35 seconds. Okay.
I counted.
All right, let's talk to Joseph in Renton.
Hello, Joseph.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, you know, politicians find out how good I feel, they're going to find a way to tax it. So let's keep it a secret, shall we?
Yeah. I was just diagnosed with having cancer in my prostate.
Okay.
And so they say I have a GL8 with a 1.3 centimeter in my middle left. The tip, I have a GL8. That's a smaller one. In the right, mm-hmm. I have a benign, and in the tip lower right is a GL6. Obviously, I'm taking a new interest in food and supplements.
Absolutely.
I was wondering what the best, you know, there's so much stuff online. I was wondering what the best supplements and what I can do, you know, from things that I have control over. I'm going to have a bone scan and a CT on the 12th.
Good.
What can I do as far as that is concerned.
Okay. Well, first of all, with a Gleason 8, you have a relatively aggressive tumor to start with. We just know from the Gleason score that this is not one of those that we want to sit around and watch. You know, a Gleason 6 and 7, 93-94% of the time, there will be no significant growth over a 15-year period. But when you move into an 8, we now have a very different situation, and you need much more aggressive evaluation and therapy. Have they done a, they've done a biopsy on you, I presume then. Did they send it off for genetic analysis?
They had it examined under a microscope.
Yeah, but they should. I liked when with my patients, if they do a biopsy, I always want to talk to the urologist and ask them to please send it for a genetic analysis where they can actually run the tumor's genome. Because there are a series of genetic markers within the tumor that can give us a very good idea of what its aggressiveness and propensity to spread are. So whenever they're getting a piece, I don't like them to just do the microscope. That tells us grossly what is the morphology of the tumor, but I want them to actually go in and do an analysis of that tumor's genetic material. I just get more information that way and have a better idea of what I can expect. Okay, your oncologist and urologist are going to come up with your formal therapy. So, you know, that's, we'll go wherever they go with that. Things you can do, all right, here's where I would go. First of all, your favorite beverage has just become pomegranate juice. Okay. Not pomegranate juice cocktail with all that apple juice in it. Good old-fashioned, slightly bitter pomegranate juice. I want you drinking at least 6 ounces a day. Second, tomato, cooked or frozen tomatoes, not fresh tomatoes. Because fresh tomatoes don't release the lycopene very efficiently. I want you to doing things with a lot of tomato sauce and tomato paste. So start throwing tomato sauce, tomato paste into everything you eat. If you're going to have pasta, have it with marinara sauce. Okay. Depending on if they put you on what chemo, I would throw in a heavy dose of resveratrol. Resveratrol has a tendency to make the tumors more sensitive to radiation therapy. They die more readily if there's a big dose of resveratrol on board. So,
can you spell that word?
Resveratrol,
R-E-S-V-E-R-A-T-R-O-L.
Resveratrol. And we do a 350 milligram pill, and I'd be taking at least 3 pills a day. Okay. 1,000 milligrams a day. If you're going to have chemo or radiation, because the resveratrol tends to make the tumors more sensitive. They die more easily when exposed to many forms of chemo and to the radiation therapies. Exercise. I want you exercising regularly. It turns out that people who exercise regularly have a 25% less death from both breast and prostate cancers than people with a sedentary lifestyle. Exercise boosts your immune response, helps you fight infections and cancers more effectively. So if you're carrying extra weight, cut down on your eating. Lose that fat because the fat increases inflammation, which promotes tumor growth. Okay? So I want you lean and I want you fit. Those two changes in most Americans' life will lower risk of cancer, both developing cancer and survival from cancer significantly. All right?
That really does help. I appreciate the conciseness of what you're giving me here. Just a couple other questions. They're talking about this thing where possibly if it hasn't gone into my lymph nodes or my bone, radiation 5 days a week for 5 weeks. What's your take on that?
Well, based on it being a Gleason 8, it says there's a high probability it has spread outside of the prostate. And so for that, they're probably going to want to hit all of the pelvis, not just the prostate. And, you know, that's a good idea to knock down whatever tumor is probably there. The downside, of course, of the radiation is you're not just irradiating the tumor, you're irradiating your bladder and your bowel. And so injury to the bowel and injury to the bladder are very common with, you know, whole pelvis sort of radiation. But it's a trade-off. You know, you accept the downsides to get the upside. So okay. It's, you just need to do it.
All right. Well, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for taking my call. You have a great day.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow. Okay. That opens up a line. And again, a little reminder here. We've only got about 14 minutes left for this morning here on 770 KTTH. A little reminder, however, starting at 10 o'clock, we go for another 2 hours. And if you'd like to find out where we are, we're not going to be so tacky as to promote another radio station right now, but we'll sort of semi-be tacky by telling you to go to lmclinic.com. At the top of the page, you just simply push the little button that says podcast, and it will tell you where we are for the next 2 hours of live call-in radio. So that's a good idea, lmclinic.com, podcast button at the top of the page. But that's the same website, lmclinic.com, that you go to grab one of our free health analysis appointments where you're getting not only the two free tests, but you're getting the $100 of longevity supplements and the masks, the free masks, the N95 masks. So we hope you will do that. There's only about 33 appointments left between all three of our clinics, Kirkland, Linwood, and Tacoma. So you're going to want to go today, this weekend certainly, and grab one of those. They'll definitely be gone. That's through the month of May. Grab one at lmclinic.com. Hey, 10 minutes to go. Let's start off in Bonnie Lake with Judy. Hey, Judy, thank you for calling in today.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A few years back, I was taking a probiotic, a Therabotic Complete, actually, and I had a medical procedure come along that the doctor wanted me off that prior to that procedure, and the bottle of probiotics just kind of got left in the corner of my fridge, and I just forgot about them. So I'm calling now to ask what additional dietary good is a probiotic to be taken.
Okay. Probiotics are kind of an interesting and incomplete story right now. Our gut has got an incredible mix of bacteria and viruses that are supposed to be there. Human beings developed these organisms millennia ago, and we are basically in a mutually beneficial situation. Billions of these bugs grow in our gut on a regular basis, and we absorb through our bowel the metabolic waste products of these bacteria and viruses. They produce things that our bodies depend on to function properly, which is really kind of interesting. And it turns out that depending on which bugs are growing in our gut, we are more or less susceptible to a whole lot of diseases. People that have the wrong bugs growing in their gut have a higher incidence of cancers, of heart disease, of cognitive decline. People with the best bugs growing in our guts have robust, good health. The question is, which bugs are we supposed to have? Because there's an incredible mix of them. Now, most probiotics are not actually those bugs. Most probiotics are some form of a lactobacillus, the bacteria that grow in milk. That's why we lacto. They grow in lactation products, that is lactose, milk sugar. And most of the lactobacilli are commonly found in cheeses and sour cream and that sort of thing. And so these are the most common probiotics simply because they're the easiest for people to produce. But they are not exactly the ones that are supposed to be in our gut, but they seem to kind of set the stage. When we have an adequate amount of these bugs in, they seem to compete with the bad stuff and allow more of the good stuff to grow. So throwing in probiotics tends to improve our bowel flora. In medicine, if you will excuse the yuck factor, we have actually gone a long way beyond that. What they have now done is they have taken people who have significant health problems and bowel dysfunction with bad bugs growing in their gut, and they actually take poop from really healthy people, grow the bugs, and give you an enema where they're putting the really good bugs from the healthy person into the bowel of the sick person. A poop transplant, if you will. And there are gastroenterologists that are doing that for some bowel conditions, which, you know, like I said, you really have to overcome the yuck factor to be doing that. There are now people, a few companies around the world that are taking those wild mixtures of bugs and growing them in the lab so you don't actually have to have the person's poop and developing that. As you can see, this is a weird subject. The probiotics most of us are using are essentially lactobacillus based. And very few of us in this world have ever consciously taken somebody else's poop. But here's what happens. Soil bacteria are where we get most of our bacteria in our gut. Until very recently, people ate most of their fruits and vegetables from their home garden. And those things growing in your garden have all sorts of bacteria and viruses on them from the soil. And eating raw fruits and vegetables, even if you've washed the surfaces, actually gives you a significant transplant of naturally occurring probiotics, if you will, the ones humans are designed to have from your fruits and vegetables. As more and more of our fruits and vegetables are grown without soil in hydroponics, we are losing those bacteria. And it's probably going to become more and more important in the future to use pre and probiotics to help our guts recover the normal, healthy flora that we're supposed to have.
Okay, so adding them to my diet on a daily basis will be a plus rather than a minus.
It's generally a plus. And like I said, fresh fruits and vegetables are probably the most natural probiotics you can get, because it's almost impossible to get rid of all the bacteria.
Almost as good as pulling the carrot out of the ground, like I used to do as a kid, wiping it on my jeans.
And eating it. And same thing with tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know, you get those tomato plants out in the garden, and you just go pick the tomato, and you rub off the bug poop, and you eat it. We all do it.
Would this be able to affect also the stomach with the diet with stomach acid issues? Would this help that?
Yeah, you know, usually it isn't acid per se. It's Helicobacter pylori, which is a common organism that actually causes the reflux and the irritation and the potential for ulceration.
Right.
Healthy young people have a lot of acid. As you age, you produce less and less acid, but you get more and more reflux. So it isn't acid per se.
Why is that?
Well, because you're aging and the stomach is not making as much acid as it used to. But it turns out that stomach acid is critical for triggering the stomach to contract, peristalsis, to move stuff out of the stomach down into the bowel. And when your stomach acid drops too low, then you end up not getting enough peristalsis, and the stuff sits in your stomach and is more prone to reflux. The other problem is that in men and women, as we age, our testosterone level is dropping. All of our muscles are getting weak, including the muscles of the diaphragm and the gastroesophageal valve. And raising testosterone load will often help fix reflux because the diaphragm gets stronger and thicker, and so does the gastroesophageal valve. And with a better valve, you do less reflux.
Okay, and so does the probiotic work in the stomach or just further down in the gut?
It's primarily further down in the gut.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, all right. Thank you very
much.
Hope
that answers some of your questions. Yes, ma'am.
Quickly, what can you tell about CBD oil? I had a friend that said that that's...
A lot more hype than science.
Okay, I'll pass that on to him.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your show.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, Judy. Yeah, that is a question. Boy, everywhere you turn...
They're selling CBD, yeah.
Selling it for everything.
And yeah, the problem with CBD is we don't have a lot of science yet. There are a few studies, but it's being promoted with a lot more claims than there is yet science to back it up. Now, many of those claims may turn out to be true, or they may turn out to be total garbage. We just don't have the science to back it up yet.
And with that in mind, we've got about a minute or so to go here. Let me just remind everybody, we talked about this about an hour and a half ago, but we're very grateful to Michelle and Bia, who did some major shifting around with their schedule, because a few days ago we only had about three or four of the free health analysis appointments available through the entire month of May. But we made some changes, some staffing changes and alterations in the schedule, and we now have about 15, well, actually closer to about an average of 10 in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. So if you would like to grab one of those free health analysis appointments, remember, you get the free... two free tests, yes, you got to get those. But we're also, through May, giving you the $100 worth of longevity supplements and the free masks. You make your appointment at lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Hoping you can join us for the next 2 hours.